Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Wood Talk. Now here are three guys who always turn the other cheek when cleaning up tenons. Mark, Shannon, and Matt.
All right, it's Wood Talk, show number 516. And on today's show, we're talking about using a router to make a round tabletop, C-channels for tabletops, Endurovar 2, and stabilizing punky wood. But before we get to that, we want to let you know that Wood Talk is brought to you by Rockler. Rockler has been helping customers create with confidence for over 65 years. Rockler is giving away a new product each month to one lucky Wood Talk listener. This month, they're giving away a SL router lift, which is an affordable...
What?
Well, this is especially affordable.
That's
if you
crazy.
Win it. Mid-sized router lift that features their patented snap lock insert ring system for easy bit changes. The prize is valued at $249.99. Enter for your chance to win before January 1st at rockler.com/woodtalk.
Is it me or are these giveaways getting bigger? Like a year ago, I was like, okay, well, they'll give away some bendy clamps. You know, $19.99 value. Like last week was like $350, or last month was $350 something. Now we're $250. This is crazy. Rockler's crazy.
I think you feel more generous around the holidays. I think that's what's happening now.
That must be it.
Is it?
That means January we're back to, you know, plastic templates for $9.
Right
now, because next month it's a butterfly template. That's all you get.
Enter to win your circular. We have a monthly circular.
There we go.
To win a circular.
Free circulars. We'll send three of them to your house. That's what they said in my house anyway. For some reason, I get three copies of the Rockler catalog. And not like one Monday, one Wednesday. They all come at the same day. Like the mailbox is just filled with three different versions.
It's one for each hand and one for Heather.
One to Shannon Rockers.
I got two of them. I got like a normal one. And then I got one that was like the professional edition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I get that one too. Only one version of that though.
What makes that different?
The cover?
I don't know. Makes me feel good about myself.
There's more serious looking people on the front.
Right. We are definitely not in that catalog. That's the big difference.
Are we in any catalog?
I don't see our mugs.
No, of course not. Did you guys, well, you guys saw this, but the Rockler amazes me with how just willing they are to play the game. In some cases,
play the game.
Like I'll talk about this a little bit later, but I bought something and saw three dudes on the front cover. And I was like, oh, it'd be funny if I like cut out pictures of our heads and put them on there and said, hey, Rockler, this is what you should have done. And like they put it on their account and restoried it on the Rockler account on Instagram. I'm like, all right, I like you guys. I like your sense of humor.
And I think the best part of that was the truly low tech version of it. Like people will do Photoshop. Yeah. You just like cut it out and like taped it on there. That's what made
it. You know
best.
How much I have zero Photoshop skills. So when people are like, oh, that's a funny Photoshop, I'm like, nope, it's tape and paper. It's about as good as I can get. Yeah, good stuff.
That's pretty fancy, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good
it's
tape.
Next level right there.
It was brand name tape, actually.
That's some quality kindergarten skills right there. using yeah. those scissors, especially with the round ends. Man, those
the best, the most technological aspect of that was like making sure the percentage on the printout was right so that the heads were the right size. And they weren't even
no, the
they
right. weren't. Scaling the heads.
I did hit the, I did like press some keystrokes to get some numbers in there, but they just were not correct. Anyway, Matt.
good tangent, Mark.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's very good.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to help support the show, you can do so. You can go to patreon.com/woodtalk and sign up to become a patron of the show. This episode, we're thanking Ken Miller and Doug Fink.
Sure.
Fink? I don't know.
It's tricky when there's so many vowels.
There's a couple. There's only two, but...
There's only two.
Two, but they're close together. Then you got to decide...
they're touching.
What whatever. They're yeah, touching. Somebody let them touch. Well, exactly. What do you do with the N-U-O-L-O? What people are like, I don't know what to do with that. Trust me.
Whatever you want.
Live with it my whole life.
Marco Spaghetti.
Let it dangle.
Spaghetti-o. Sounds about right. All right, let's get to what's on the bench. For me, you know, this is about the time of year where I slack off and I try to stay off of social media. I'm not sure how or if.
You're not very good at that.
No, I'm not very good.
Working,
I'm going to try it maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, are you going to try it again?
There's so many changes going on right now in my life and in the business and in the shop. And I want to be in the shop and I feel like doing stuff. And if I'm not talking about it, am I really doing it? You know?
No.
So many changes.
No, you're not.
You're starting to get hair in places you never had it before.
I started a long time ago. So you got to buy those special beard trimmers that come with different attachments that like in the past, I'm like, what is this? And who would use it? I'm like, oh, for people with hairy ears. Now I get it. Like, disgusting. What's going on, man?
What I love is just how easy it is to send Mark on a tangent. It really requires very little.
It push, is quite easy.
It's just kind of bam. And there he goes.
How many trimming. Years? How many years have we done this show, right? Over time, especially working, like I was primed with Vanderlist and the two of us, you could just have a fly.
But now you actually channel Vanderlist. It's like you've got double the damage.
I learned from the best though, is what I'm getting at here.
He's still here in spirit.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, with all this stuff going on, I wanted to do a little shop project. I had a little, you know, cabinet that I wanted to make to hold my spindle sander. And started to film it and got about a quarter of the way into it. One day I just came into the shop and most of the day had gone by and I was feeling good. It was fun, having a good time. And I was like, oh crap, I never turned the camera on. Hmm. And I'm like, well, you know what though? That's okay. Because my heart wasn't in it. I was just filming it to film it. And I was like, you know, sometimes, at least a couple times a year for people who present content, I actually think it's really good to do something that you don't worry about documenting. You just do it for yourself. Get it done. It's very liberating, makes you feel good. And you could, you know, always go back and make something else later. So that was a fun little, for me, kind of project. And as part of this, I had to go pick up some plywood. And I started to, I really want to figure this out. Like I want a better plywood moving and cutting strategy for my shop. And I've been eyeballing that Rockler Material Mate cart. And we may have given one away or at least talked about it on the show in the past. This thing is fantastic. It's basically something where imagine a, you know, metal framed cart that you could roll out to your truck. If you've got a pickup, slide a piece of plywood right off the tailgate onto this thing, roll that sucker into the shop. And then you got a tilt top that allows you to tilt it upright. And now you could just lift it right off of there. And, you know, you have it sort of in that vertical position or, depending on what you do with this thing, you could actually just make your cuts right on top of the Material Mate cart. And I'm like, well, you know what? This back situation of mine, I'm still like, I still have a little bit of this friggin' sciatic nerve pain from my last injury that is taking forever to go away and heal. And I'm like, I do not want to go down this path again. I have to take every precaution I can to ensure that I do not injure my back again. Cause I think the next time this happens, I'm going to be in serious, like long-term trouble with that. And I don't want that in my life. So this Material Mate thing has been absolutely fantastic. And I actually went to Rockler, you guys, all the way.
Not Rockler. Allowed.
And here's
that seems weird to you.
It really is. Know. Here's the best news about it, though. You know how the Denver Rockler expanded and they got that whole new wood section? They did not expand into the pizza place, which is what my main concern was.
Mm-hmm.
So key. Thankfully, I think it's I don't remember what the name of the place is. think it's like Garlic Knot or something like that. But the pizza place is still there. They expanded to the other side and they have a very large, we've talked about this so many times and I've read the ads for it, but I haven't seen it myself. A very large selection of hardwoods and quite impressive there. But I went all the way there, picked up the material, mate. Had a real good time talking to some people at the store. A couple guys that worked there were really helpful, super nice. And it's been fantastic. So a great visit to Rockler and great product. So finally.
Mark's visit to Rockler.
But, finally, in 2021, I visited the store.
I mean, that's what we really want.
It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time of day to stop and get pizza.
Does the material mate part handle pizza? Like, will it tip it up and slide it onto the dining table? Because that's key.
Probably take several pieces of pizza. I mean, here's the other good thing about this cart. It's adjustable in height. So whether you are like trying to adjust it for optimal cutting height, trying to adjust it for optimal like pickup truck height or
pizza eating height.
Pizza on it. Yeah.
I was like, depending on like how you like to eat your pizza, if you actually want to pick it up or you just want to like, you know, slide it into your mouth.
Sure. Well, sometimes you like to stand and eat, right? I do that all the time in the shop. Well, you could also adjust it to the height of your table saw. So if you are going to take this right from the cart over to the table saw, especially people who don't want to exert that kind of pressure on their back, it's just fantastic. So it's been a game changer. I got some fun things planned for it. We're going to,
you know, then it's an offbeat table as well.
That's there right. You go. Yeah, you could.
That actually raises another question because I was thinking about this. We have a similar kind of tilt top cart at the millwork house, because in the cabinet shop specifically, because that's where most of the plywood usage is. And, you know, it's just something that I think somebody several generations ago, like welded together. I mean, it's definitely made in the shop type thing, but it specifically has that tilt top. So you can wheel the plywood over, tilt it. And what they do is they slide it down and tilt it kind of up onto the panel saw, like the wall mounted panel saw.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, have you ever thought about like constructing something like that, like using like a Festool track or something? I mean, specifically because obviously you're prone to back issues. I wonder, I mean, I don't know. Do you do that much plywood work anymore? I feel like I haven't seen you use plywood much other than for shop projects.
Yeah, it's often enough that I need to have a solution for it. I don't know that a vertical thing is the way for me to go.
There's a lot of space, obviously.
If you truly have one of those units in the shop, sure. Yeah, that's great because the saw is on those rails, right? And it's all kind of secure and ready to go. For someone who's rolling with a Festool system, I feel like bending down to run a saw like vertically on a track like that would be more trouble than it's worth. I think the best solution for me is to figure out how to get this cart with a sacrificial surface on top that I don't have to remove. I can kind of just keep it there. And whether I'm moving the plywood to a different location or flipping it up and actually cutting right there on an elevated surface like that, whichever it is, I think that's going to be the way to go. I think I have to stop cutting it on the floor, which is something that I've been doing for ages.
Right.
Something that people have been telling you not to do for ages as well.
Oh, it hurts my knees just looking at you. I'm like, all right, fine. So if I could cut it in that vertical position.
You old people don't know what you're talking about.
Right?
10 years later.
And here I am now.
Get it.
We all get old eventually if we're lucky. So. Yeah. So I think an elevated cut, you know, not too high because I need to be able to reach across a 4-foot sheet. But I do think elevated is going to be the way for me to go. But I'm still trying to figure it out. Getting to know this thing and, you know, trying to do a bunch of different stuff like hang TVs in my shop and, you know, do extraneous crap.
I got to say, just watching Matt's contractor has given me a new appreciation for what you can do with a Festool track saw. And horizontal is just the beginning. Like the crazy stuff that he's doing, screwing that track down to things and making weird cuts in all different angles. It's just awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, just screw it right to the wall and make your cut.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, combined with the plunge nature of any track saw, really, but the Festool track saw, I mean, you just think about all the drywall work where you have like captive cuts. Where you just like stick the fence to the wall, zip it in there. That's awesome. That's
good stuff. Right. No, totally. And I mean, I cut plywood with it. So there's that.
Yeah.
you think about like, what is the least like unimaginative like thing you could possibly do with this tool that does all these amazing things? Yeah, just cut some plywood.
No, even worse. I have one just to cut plywood. Like that is
worse.
Other than the grizzly planer, it's the only power tool I have. And the amount of plywood that I work with. Put it this way. I bought 10 sheets of maple ply, actually 10 extra sheets. When I redid my shop 3 years ago,
4 years ago.
I think it's longer than that.
It's been a while. It's been years. I bought extra plywood at the time because I was buying, you know, I had rented a truck and I was like, I might as well just get some more. I still have, of those 10 extra sheets, I still have 6 sheets left.
Oh, geez.
So, but yet I have like a Festool track saw specifically to cut plywood.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of myself.
All right. Well, we took way too long talking about my stuff. Matt, what do you got going on?
I like talking about your stuff.
Okay, thanks.
You got good stuff.
It's good.
Appreciate it.
Oh yeah. So I am currently on a little break here from our little renovation thing, which feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
We did 6 weeks on, and now we're doing 8 weeks off, which gets me some time to like do other things and get my life back together. Because like only doing one thing for 6 weeks takes a toll on everything else in your life.
Of course. I feel like it's time for Donovan to get 8 weeks of physical therapy to recover.
No. He's
from being the only one doing the work.
He's still going.
Okay.
Like I'm over here being run ragged. And he's just, see you next time. I'm going to keep running. Okay.
That's awesome.
Enjoy your break.
Hey, I have a question for you. I've been seeing you do these audio things on Facebook.
Yes.
What are
I have done those.
Tell me about them.
It's like sure,
it's like a Matt podcast in a way.
Yeah, Facebook is launching or is in some process of launching a small audio feature thing. They're calling sound bites. And basically they're up to 5 minutes of audio.
Okay.
So you can I've been using it to answer questions or give like daily summaries of what's been going on. It's been kind of interesting to kind of play with. So they haven't really been pushing it in their algorithm that much until I think probably like this week.
Well, I know as a follower of yours, I see every one of them.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I don't listen to them, but I see them.
When did you start seeing them?
It's been going for a while. Cause I look at it and I go, well, somebody's paying Matt to do something because this is different.
Like, yeah, I started in October 1st.
I see every single one of them when they post, which is why I've been meaning to ask you, like, what was the deal with that?
Which is interesting because I haven't seen a single one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends
on the point where I just pulled up Facebook to verify that I was, in fact, like, following and friends with Matt. I was like, oh, crap. Did I actually, like, I could just see, like, a friend request from Matt from, like, 6 years ago that I've ignored. I don't see one. That's weird.
Interesting. Yeah, I see every single one and I go, oh, look at that. It's Matt's show.
I think they've been rolling out to like a select subset
of
the audience.
Yeah.
That's just the perfect example of the Facebook algorithm right there.
Well, I think the other thing is they did present the first one to me and I was like, whoa, what is this? And I did listen to it. And I think it's that interaction, of course, that these platforms are always looking for is like, if you interact with it, that's a sign you want to see all this. So I've gotten them ever since then.
Yeah, they've been. So I think that most of them get like 10 listens right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I think last week they started getting up like in the 30s. So like something's going with them. I don't know.
It's one of those things where these platforms just try to do too much. And it, like as content creators, it's super annoying to especially like Instagram is now, we're TikTok too. You know, like that's all they want to be.
We're all TikTok.
TikTok is eating their lunch and they want a part of it. And now Instagram is no longer the platform it used to be.
Oh, I agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about social media. Well, that's cool. Enjoy it. I like hearing you talk to yourself. It's fun.
Well, for things that are like easy, like I was trying to use it as like a Q&A kind of thing, but like, there's a lot of things they can answer in like a minute or less in audio.
Yeah.
Like real quick. And I'm like, I don't feel like typing this and more people will be able to see it and kind of learn from that than me just answering one DM, for instance. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go, but it'll
go nowhere, but take the money and run.
Yeah.
The proof of concept was interesting to me, I guess.
Right.
We're going to do this thing called podcast or wait, what was it that I sent you guys? Was it Spotify who's doing this revolutionary new thing called video podcasting.
Oh, right.
Oh, what's wow. Old is new again, I guess.
That's fantastic.
You mean I can subscribe to it and it comes to me on my mobile device? This is amazing.
That's fantastic.
What if I want it on iTunes?
You can get that too.
Next Spotify is going to send you an actual like written pages bound in some sort of book shaped
item. Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
You just have to read to yourself.
And then if you join, you can get 10 of them for free. And then we'll send you one a month after that, which will be impossible to cancel.
That's right. You'll figure out, you'll forget how to cancel. Your mom will start yelling at you.
$12.95 a month.
Good golly. All right. Well,
anyway,
Shannon, what about you?
So Mark had his Just For Me project. I went the other direction and I started building a Just For Me project and thought, I should probably film this because in typical woodworker fashion, what started as a simple project has become way overcomplicated and like probably over-designed. But I had a need in my workout room, my pain cave, what do you want to call it? Where I have these like, I don't know, something I've had for years, like little plastic type storage bins that I was sticking like, you know, workout clothes in or whatever. And that has grown and like it's overflowing with stuff. And I was like, you know, I should build like a small like cubby or something like that, which turned into, oh, well, it should have a shelf here. And next thing you know, it had like a small, like shallow shelf with like built-in charging to like charge like my Garmin watch and like my bicycle head unit. I was like, okay, this is getting a little out of control. It's time to step back and like turn it into a real project instead of it just like throw it together over a weekend type thing. So yeah, I'm going the opposite direction, which is probably bad because now the project is getting even more complicated because I chose to turn on the camera. So yeah, lucky me. But it is fun. I will say the last time that I built, I mean, I've certainly built plenty of projects like for the house, you know, furniture around the house, but to build like a truly custom functional item, like with this drawer has this particular purpose and I'm going to like, you know, trick it out by running charging cables into it and stuff like that. It's probably something I learned from watching Mark.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to have LED lights in it or something like that, but
it's the best wireless charging.
It's just kind of fun. Cause I think that's why we get into woodworking in the first place, you know? Oh, well, if only I had a table that had this weird feature that no one but me is ever going to want. So having fun with it.
That's cool. I got a project like that I am avoiding like the plague because it's going to involve lots of drawers. I've got, I have a very simple wardrobe with a lot of the same thing, right? Like tons of t-shirts, tons of shorts. Like there's just, you know, one type of sock, but I got a thousand of them.
You wear. Yeah.
So I have very specific needs in regard to my clothing storage. And I have a spot where I just got this like cheap wardrobe thing from Wayfair and it's not perfect. I've done like modifications to make it work, but I'm thinking about that exact thing. Like, okay, this is where I'm going to store my socks. It will be a very large sock drawer because I have so many of the same type of sock, but I need that specifically for me. But it feels like this will not be useful to anybody else who has a different type of wardrobe.
Right. So, yeah.
But you got to like, that's the fun of doing it though, is because it's just for me.
Yeah.
Cool beans. All right. So we got some kickback and announcements. Shannon, you're having a sale.
I'm having a sale. IKEA is having a sale. I don't know where that just came from. Just
me either.
Random thing from my past. Yeah, it's holiday season time. So the one time a year that the Hand Tool School has a sale, and usually the one time a year I forget to mention on this show that I'm having a sale or in any appearance that I'm actually having a sale until it's over. But yeah, I 4 or 5 years now, I do it starting at Black Friday, but I always run it through the end of the year because every time I like shut it off after 2 days, someone emails like, oh, is it still going? Or then somebody calls you like after Christmas, I got some money for Christmas. You still have that sale? So I just like run it, you know, forget about the fear of missing out or the sense of urgency from setting up a 1 day sale. Mine just runs for like a month and a couple of days. So yeah. Through December 31st at 30% off at the Hand Tool School. All you got to do is go to the Hand Tool School. The coupon code's right there in the top of the site. Can't miss it. Or maybe you can't.
Great.
I don't know.
And what is the Hand Tool School?
It's this online thing.
Okay, perfect. Go, I'm trying to help you sell your stuff.
It's where you go to learn, yo.
Go and for people like Matt who just want to learn, you can go there.
To learn.
I'm waiting for Margaret to throw that line in as the who said it. I just want to learn.
I just want to learn. You know, and seeing this in here inspired me because I also forget to mention these things.
We have
a weekly guild sale through Christmas, I guess. So every weekend we put two more projects on sale. I believe it's also 30% off. And same thing, you don't have a coupon code or anything. Just go to the site on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and you will see those projects on sale. And it changes every week. So fun stuff. Oh, and that's at thewoodwhisperguild.com. Did you say the name of the Hand Tool School's website?
Handtoolschool.net. It's there.
Can't assume that everybody knows this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in my case, since handtoolschool.com got bought up by someone else.
Somebody stole it from you.
I was my own idiot. 10 years ago, I launched the Hand Tool School on a subdomain and only thought about buying the actual domain until like a year into it. Yeah, it's my own fault.
It's funny how in retrospect, this stuff becomes so obvious. Like,
oh, yeah.
Should have done Absolutely. That.
Absolutely. So
all right,
one
now
day
you
I'll pony
to
up
do,
the
boy.
80 grand that they want oh. for it and I'll buy it.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's 80 grand, really?
Yeah. Yes. I'm not
That's
making that number
pass.
Up.
That's crazy. Do you know how much I bought woodwhisperer.com for?
$9.99.
$10.
Look, $100. Well, after like I had been doing my thing, I'd been trying to get that domain for years and some dude. Was
oh, really?
Just, some dude was sitting on it.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Every couple of years I was like, hey, you interested in selling that thing? And he's like, nope, still using it. I was like, I want that. And then it like, well, after this guy could have told me $1,000 and I would have paid for it.
He's
like $100.
Wasn't
like,
he kind
done.
Of like a Ren Faire kind of guy that made like wooden dragons or something? Am I making that up?
No. He was a turner. Just a turner.
All right.
Vessels and bowls and things like that. I'm sure very nice guy. And I actually respect the fact that he, you know, wasn't going to try to milk me for everything I was worth just to get a domain. I do appreciate that. But it was, it was definitely cheaper than he could have charged me.
Good to know.
The deal of a lifetime.
Totally. All right, Matt, start reading. You got a lot to go.
Ready, go.
I see. Who's this from?
Matt B.
Oh, there it is. Too many Matts in this sentence.
Yeah, there really is. Too many Matts
from,
in this room.
Ouch.
Room. What room? What room are you in?
The Zencaster room. And enough. Just read. Go. Nobody cares.
All right, this is from Matt B. Matt B is a general contractor in Denver. He's been doing this work now for just over 5 years, working alongside of his brother and his best friend. Not to toot my own horn, but I'm really good at a lot of different things. Matt goes on to say, I'm also in school studying computer science. I hope to combine my love for woodworking with my knowledge of programming, think CNCs and Shaper. I'm pursuing this degree because although I'm good at what I do, I don't love it. It's backbreaking work. I'm often exhausted from a day's work and that I have little left to give my wife and kids. Beyond that, I want to be able to provide a little better for my family, as well as be able to invest further into woodworking. On the flip side, I totally get where Matt is coming from. That's me. The biggest thing I don't look forward to when I move into my new career is not getting out and being and building / creating regularly. It is incredibly rewarding to put such a great amount of work into a project and be able to walk a family member through it or show them pictures and say, I did that. We even converted a 2,000 square foot basement into a really nice apartment for my parents. Pretty cool to be able to bless them like that. All that to say, do what makes you happy. I too started out fetching tools, sweeping up and just observing / learning. And now I can run a whole job with little to no oversight. Just steer clear of drywall. Uh-huh. My biggest regret is getting good at drywalling because I absolutely hate it. And now I'm always the one to get sent on the drywall repairs. Ha ha. Thanks for not quitting and go Rockler.
Nice. Hey, Matt B. I've got a little drywall repair. In my house.
Right.
You're in Denver. Let's do this. Let's make it happen, Captain. But that's pretty cool.
Barbecue.
Yeah. The funny thing about this is like the sort of manual labor thing. It's just the example I think of is I got a buddy. And he is like really into fitness and exercise. And when he moved away from Denver, he got a job where he's like, yes,
sounds like him.
Wait a minute.
Ex-military though. This is the kind of guy that like, while he was here, I'd be driving to go get a Dunkin' Donuts in the morning. And I would see him running with packs of weights on his back
nice.
because gravity isn't enough for people like that.
Right.
You know, and so he's intense. But anyway, when he moved away, he wound up getting this like really intense full-time job in Vermont. And he's like caring for trees. Like he works for a syrup company. And it just sounds like so much work. But I was like, yeah, man, but cool. You got your like your workout built into what you're doing. He's like, no, not the same. He's like, when I get home, I am utterly exhausted. I want to go to bed at 7. I don't want to wake up in the morning. I'm sore, but not in like a good muscle sore way. In a way that's like, I'm destroying my body for this work. But like, there's a very big difference between that, like that blue collar, getting out there, getting dirty, getting stuff done versus like controlled movements in the gym.
Right. You know, so
that's what this kind of work makes me think of. It is a lot more taxing on your body.
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, another tangent for you guys. You're welcome.
I do find it a bit ironic though, because the number of like computer scientists and programmers that get into woodworking because like they have nothing to show for their life's work, you know, other than ones and zeros or maybe an app or something like
something
that.
Tangible.
Like, they want to make something tangible. And here's a guy that's out there building things and is studying computer science to get into programming.
I'm making too many things. I'd like to make, you know,
I need more intangibles in my life.
Virtual stuff. Nice. All right. Well, let's do a mid-roll ad. Let's talk about some project inspiration. If you're looking for inspiration for your next project, head to rockler.com. You could find over 100 free step-by-step plans ranging from shop projects like an outfeed table designed by Matt Cremona.
Oh, I did that. I forgot I did that.
You did. You put all kinds of T-tracks in it too.
They're all blue.
Yeah. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Do you ever use those T-tracks?
I do.
Okay. To furniture or... It didn't go the way I was hoping it would. To furniture for your house, like a new coffee table, to little giftable small projects like a wireless speaker box. Rockler also shares how-to videos and woodworking tips so that you can create with confidence. And you can find a gallery of thousands of customer project images that provide even more inspiration. And you can find all of this at rockler.com.
Woo!
Yay.
Go Rockler.
All right, let's get to our questions, you guys. Got a group question here from Alan. This is tricky. This is going to be tricky. No, not this one. That's the next show. Never mind. That one show's tricky about this, guys. This one's not that tricky. So Alan says, we recently watched someone build a walnut dining table. We could share the link. We're not going to talk crap about this person, but we'll put the, Shannon, when you do the show notes.
Yeah, let's put that I'll throw it in there. It was a good video.
A walnut dining table without breadboards and immediately wondered what was going to happen when the wide tabletop panels began to warp. The question was soon answered when the builder installed something I hadn't heard of before called C-channels to keep the top from warping. I've never seen these before, but they look like a great option for a plain top without breadboard ends to eliminate warping. I checked Rockler and other popular woodworking websites, but it doesn't seem that they're sold, or hardly anyone else has them for that matter. The guy building the table mentioned that there's a lot of controversy and disagreement about using C-channels. I'm planning to build my own dining table and would like to hear your thoughts on C-channels. Do they help? Waste of money? Or are there better options? Thanks. All right. So we haven't talked about this ahead of time. I'm going to guess that we all kind of agree on this.
Well,
we talked about
didn't we talk about it on this show? I mean, like in this YouTube video where the guy admits there being controversy, all I can hear is like, oh yeah, he probably listened to Wood Talk at some point.
Interesting. Well, this would not be the first time that I totally forgot that we've talked about something.
I mean, I could be wrong. I feel like, I don't know. Sometimes I have a hard time differentiating with conversations we had on air and off air.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, let's talk about it again.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
Should be well rehearsed by now.
So I think I'm going to take a slight issue with the first thing that I see here. And that is when Alan says, I was wondering what was going to happen when the wide tabletop panels began to warp. Hmm. There's an assumption being made here that all pieces of wood are going to warp.
Right.
And I think there's, if you operate on that assumption, sure, you're going to go down this path and look for C-channels or breadboards or, you know, cleats or something to prevent the inevitable warping that's supposed to happen. My problem is I disagree with that statement. I don't believe, I mean, maybe in a couple hundred years, I think every piece of solid wood probably will warp to some extent. But I have my house filled with large tabletops made from large, wide boards that are still flat. Now, granted, I only have a 15, 20 year career right now. But that's a pretty good starting point for like my expectations of how wood is going to behave. So unless there's a drastic change that happens, a drastic environmental change, I can probably expect these things to continue to stay mostly flat or flat enough to continue being functional. So what do you guys think about this? First of all, this is Jason Bent, who made this table, beautiful walnut table that he made. He presented how to install these C channels and presented it as like, look, there is some controversy here, but this seems like a good belt and suspenders things for me. So I'm going to do it, which right. I mean, who can argue with that? It definitely is going to be belt and suspenders.
First so, of all, I don't know. Is Jason like sponsored by Festool? Because it did have a bit of a Festool commercial about it. I mean, he shows I mean, great effect to great effectiveness how these cool Festool things are used. But
yeah, like, I mean, oh. If you look at his shop, I don't know what his financial relationship is with them, or officially what his relationship is with them. But he does have some relationship with them, but clearly loves the brand.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent showing of what Festool can do for you. I think it was pretty. Oh, yeah. Interesting there. Anyway, sorry, totally off topic.
So what do you think, Shannon? You can go first.
Well, first, I think that Rockler should take note of this and start carrying a line of C-channels. Like they could make-
That would be like, pretty smart.
Like a powder-coated kind of fancier, prettier kind of hardware solution. I'm really surprised mm-hmm. no one's done this yet. So Rockler-
Well, they could put them on the same page as the hairpin legs.
Yeah. Or they could just make them Rockler blue, except I don't think many people would be keen on that fine furniture.
I'd use that.
But actually, I started thinking that because in watching Jason's use, he actually, like the C-channels that I've seen, they're like, raw steel. This almost looked like it had like a black powder coat on it. It looked like a prettier version of the C-channel than I'd ever seen.
It looks like what you're describing that Rockler should do.
Right. That's what made me think of it. Like, I wonder where he got them. He might have it in the link. I don't know. So that's the first thing. Somebody, Rockler, well, not... We're not allowed to talk about them, are we? Rockler.
You mean the other Rockler?
Yeah, the other Rockler. Yeah. Sorry, forgot about that. second of all, in some ways, yes, it's kind of like a belt and suspenders. He says, there's a lot of controversy, but it can't hurt. I kind of agree with that. But I also, I want to caution people sometimes about just like routing a slot into the bottom of a wide panel. Because a lot of times that's going to encourage it to cup. Now, in this case, he routes the slot and then sticks rigid steel in there, which should, keep it flat. But I've also seen C channels done where it's flipped the other way around. So he's got it so that the C is facing down and he just writes two slots and he, inserts the legs of the C in. I've seen it the other way where someone routes like a wide recess and flips the C channel so it's a U channel at that point and recesses it in. So now essentially you've created this big old giant kerf where the wood is thin at the top and thick the rest of the way, and you're going to get, uneven movement there. Now one could also say you're also exposing a lot of end grain, so maybe you'll get more moisture exchange in the middle, but more moisture exchange could also be a bad thing and cause cracking. But I quickly fast forwarded to the end of this video and I was like, oh, what is the base on this table like? I was thinking it was going to be some sort of like trestle kind of floating top, very unsupported
with no support.
Top. Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I mean, it's a cool design. It's kind of a trapezoidal leg design, but there's two, first of all, long aprons, and then there are short aprons, or you could even call them battens. So it is framed. The whole tabletop sits on four aprons. He uses Z-clips to attach it, which, he used it on the long grain side, which I thought was kind of interesting. So he puts the domino slots wide enough to allow the lateral expansion. But I mean, there's so much anchoring that wide flat tabletop to this base that it's like
literally belt and suspenders.
Yeah, it's belt and suspenders. And like,
it's a missed opportunity with that design gifted him.
Right.
An opportunity to naturally do a C channel, if you want to call it that, but support, and he didn't go for it.
Right. It's like we've talked in the past, like, everyone's, oh, you've got to have breadboards on that. And I think it was you, Mark, that said, no, no, you don't.
Only if you want breadboards.
But if you built like a trestle table, I think is a good example. Even then, there's usually some sort of like batten on the underside attaching it. I think that it was way overkill. And the additional cost of the C channel, the additional cost of the time to do it all. It just is totally unnecessary.
Well, and I mean, there's one thing that's for sure is that tabletop probably will not warp.
No.
Like in terms of like, if that's the goal, I'm pretty sure he nailed that. That's not going to happen. Matt, what do you think about all this?
I have a very similar opinion to Shannon in that.
Sorry.
I think people kind of jump. Well, I'm sorry. It's not controversial enough for you.
Disagree. Would you?
I think people just kind of install these by default without actually thinking about what they're doing, which I guess is fine because it doesn't really hurt anything. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the bigger question here is like, you're not paying attention to like, okay, the base is actually supposed to support the tabletop. So if you look at like a traditional, you know, four apron tabletop table, the whole structure of the base supports that whole top, and those tops never have breadboard ends.
Right.
Yeah.
So like the structures there support that top to keep it flat. So then we just kind of forgot about that.
Right.
And threw a seat shell and everything.
And it's part of its function.
And at the same time, like, okay, now you're severing in fibers all over the place.
Yeah.
So now that board isn't that strong anyway. So my thing with this that I have never tried is if you just cut the slots and call it good, is that good enough? Is that the same outcome as just cutting the slots and installing a C-channel? Because well, in my mind, does the C-channel really do anything if there's already some structure there and you cut all the fibers so they can't even pull? You're just filling the hole in? I don't know.
Well, and this makes me think, like, if you're going to do this and you kind of, I mean, if you're doing C-channel, you are kind of saying that you don't care what the underside looks like. And I mean that, I don't mean that to be offensive, but if you don't mind seeing that on the underside, would we feel the same way about, let's just kerf it? Why not just kerf the entire underside of the table?
Never going to warp then. Yeah,
kerf it into submission. There's no metal. It'll make the top even lighter. Like, and it doesn't cost anything more but time. So kerf the hell out of it if you're that worried about it. I mean, I get there's a big difference there. But.
And I don't honestly know what will happen if you do that. Now you're kerfing it, so you're exposing end grain. So there is a lot more moisture exchange. You know, the board, the entire board, the entire panel, whatever, is going to be more prone to erratic moisture changes. We have climate control. Yeah, but
at the surface, only a quarter inch thick.
Yeah, no matter what happens, it can't go anywhere.
Where's it going to go? It's like a quarter inch
thick. Right, because you've screwed it down, in other words.
It's veneer now.
Now it's veneer.
What I wonder is, you know, by putting those C-channels in, and he has no breadboard or anything like that, so he's got ingrain on the end of the table, and then he's got another bit of ingrain, say, 12 inches in. I don't know. I couldn't remember how long the overhang was, but we'll just say 12 to 24 inches in. Could he potentially see like slight curling at the corners because now there's substantially more moisture exchange? And you know, we talk about, you may think of that as, well, more moisture exchange means, you know, a drier board. Well, no, what that actually means is as the temperature or the humidity spikes in the house, because yes, we all have climate control, but it's not like, you know, a clean room, folks. You know, I mean, every time look at how your doors in the house stick or drawers stick, you know, from seasonal changes, even though you may be running the air conditioner, just when you run the heat, things are going to change. I wouldn't be surprised if there were subtle kind of curling, like right at the corner, because now there's even greater moisture exchange there because of that. I could be totally wrong here. I'm probably overanalyzing and talking out of both sides of my mouth, because I'm usually saying, look, people, wood moves, but like, don't be afraid of it. Like, it's not going to explode. I don't know. It's the whole thing feels very superfluous.
I think like when I try to think about where all this came from and where it truly is a justified thing to do, I think this maybe happened. Maybe I'm just speculating here, but when people started to make big slab tabletops, you know, think Nakashima, think giant conference tables with solid, solid slabs. That's, I think, where C-channel kind of came in as a thing to be, you know, pretty useful. Because if you're talking about whole...
Did Nakashima use C-channel?
I don't think so.
No.
But I think if you are a modern woodworker coming along trying to build something out of a single piece, a single slab, and, I mean, would you guys agree that a single slab is going to have more, you know, potential chance of warping faster than something that's been a laminated glue-up of milled boards?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it depends who dried it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Well, with the number of people, you know, doing what you do, who maybe don't quite know what they're doing. Like, sometimes you just get a slab and you're like, well, I don't know what the history of this thing is, but let's,
well, yeah, if it's not perfectly dried yet, you want to use it earlier, then just throw some sea chow in it, you're good to go.
Well, right. I think that's building at the heart is lumber itself is being rushed through the drying process, especially as slabs became more and more popular. A lot of people who've never dried such a thing before started drying them, and you end up with all kinds of problems because it's a very, very different equation to dry a 36-inch, 48-inch wide slab, you know, with two live edges than it is to dry 6 to 8 inch wide boards. Incredibly different kiln recipe.
That might be where this is coming from, right? From people who saw that happen and go, oh, well, big wide table. Well, yeah, you should use C-channel. But now I'm taking, you know, kiln dried walnut from a lumber supplier where it's, you know, it's acclimated and it's already stable to begin with. And I'm just gluing up my tabletop and I should probably use C-channel. It's like, well, that's where I think the argument falls apart, because that is actually should be able to produce a fairly stable top.
Yeah.
And I don't think the C-channel is necessary when you're using the kill dried stock like that.
I do think there's a greater proliferation and kind of pushing the design boundaries into more contemporary styles where there's less support. You know, certainly the four apron top and the four legs and things where you can think of, I've seen several tables where there is like four legs and four aprons, but the top floats on like four steel pins, you know, and the only contact with the base is those four steel pins, kind of like a floating glass top, but it's made out of wood. I do think there are cases there. Although I don't know what made me just think of this, but to Matt's point, Nakashima didn't use C-channels. He used sliding dovetails on a lot his designs. So he had a big wide slab. So technically that's the same thing. It's just a wooden joinery version of it. Actually, it's better because it's
similar to what we were suggesting that that Jason do with his table. Just use the the material that's already there.
Yeah. But, you know, I do think the belt and suspenders thing is where some of this comes from. People are like, well, I don't know.
Just in case.
It might move, but I don't want it to move. And to be fair, if you are building for a client, you know, the last thing you want to do is have an unsatisfied client or have to go back later, because you're just losing money at that point when you go back. So you might as well make it.
Especially
in that case, it's cheap insurance.
Well, and especially for something you have very little control over. Like if everything looked good and you got that table out and it's great, but then 6 months later, there's a problem. It's like, there was probably nothing you could have done to prevent that from happening outside of this whole C-channel conversation.
I think in those cases, when you're trying to sell these higher end dining tables, like you can't have a slab warping on you like a year down the line.
Right. I didn't pay for warp. What do you mean it's warping?
You're going to end up replacing it.
Yeah. Well, so here, before we leave this topic, very quickly, out of all the tables you guys have made, how many have you installed C-channels on?
None.
I have never installed any C-channel.
Okay. That makes three of us who have never done it.
Yeah.
So just as a little survey for anyone who thinks if you're making projects for yourself or just family members, do you have to use C-channel or put breadboards on there? No.
Only one table I built has breadboards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I've got a blanket chest with breadboards, but only one like dining table size table that I built has breadboards.
Mm-hmm.
The others
interesting.
Don't. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Don't waste your time, people.
Or waste it. Whatever. Do what you want.
Or do what you want. It's your table. Who cares? Yeah. And that was a great question. Thank you for that, Alan. And thanks, Jason, for, I was going to say allowing us, but you didn't give us permission to do anything. But apologies for criticizing your work. All right. I got a question here from Chris. He says, I'm making a 60-inch diameter dining room table out of spalted maple. I've glued my boards together, flipped the blank upside down, and used a router in a circle cutting jig and a 1/2-inch spiral upcut bit to cut the tabletop out. After several passes, I had cut down a little over 1.5 inches, the blanks 1 7/8, leaving about 1/4 inch of material left. For whatever reason, my brain told me to flip the blank over and free the round top by cutting the last 1/4 inch of material with a jigsaw. Now I've got a roundish top with 1/4 inch thick of waste material that's between 1/8 and 1/2 inch wide to remove. Using a bearing guided router bit to remove this material makes sense, but about half the time I would be making an unsupported cut and risk massive tear out from the router bit. How do I avoid this? Climb cutting seems dicey. I could now, he says, okay, use a belt sander to trim it down to like a uniform 1/8 inch and then use a spiral bit. But he has a couple other suggestions. I actually think in most cases, a really good quality spiral flush trim bit or a compression style bit is going to be okay with this. I mean, there might be a few woods if you have just a really temperamental species like a wenge or a hickory might be something like that, where if you start to go against the grain, you'll see a problem. But I think in most cases, a good quality bit, if you're just taking your time and you do reduce that overhang to as little as possible, I actually think you're going to be just fine. If you just never take that bearing off of the work, you want to absolutely keep that contact the entire time, I really don't think you're going to have as much of a problem as you're anticipating. So you can just kind of take it easy. And if you do start to see something happen or you hear that sound that tells you, oh, there's a little bit of a little bit of tear out happening, you could back off and come up with a plan B. But I don't think you need to go through any of that other stuff that you're recommending. Because he's like, should I use, you know, get a bearing with a bit with a bearing on the bottom and then flip the thing and do the bearing on the top? Like, I don't think so. If you look at like the Ultimate Router Bit collection, I think it's Whiteside that makes those. My gosh, those things are good.
I got one of those to do the serpentine chest.
Yeah,
like halfway through, I'm like, I should have bought this a long time ago.
Right.
And then the second time I used it was for flushing subfloor on the project outside. So mm-hmm.
And it did does, you, especially with the serpentine, did you have grain no, situations?
It was a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, even end grain, it's just the trick with the end grain is you don't want to just hit it right off the bat. You need to transition from something else to the end grain.
Which that one would still scare the Jesus out of me.
Yeah.
But, you know,
but
just because of what I know.
Yeah.
You know, from but my past experience.
But if you're doing a continuous circle with a large diameter, it should be okay. I think
in this case, right. what he's talking about, that ultimate bit would be like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It would just laugh at that.
Yeah. Especially that large radius, you know, there's so much support, but mm-hmm. it's interesting because he does say something at the very end, like, should I just cut all the way through? Could I use tape to cause the tear out? What I wonder, like if cutting all the way through isn't the solution, and he started on the underside. So the top of the table is where he's got this little extra ridge. What do you think about flipping it over and actually starting on the top? So you've got that clean, crisp line from the plunge cut on the top. So then the part you have to clean up is on the bottom. So if you do see any tear out, at least it's on
the
bottom.
He's probably using a center point.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Probably got the center trammel arm type deal.
Hand tool guy here.
I don't know why there would be any difference though. Like if you're going to get tear out on the first cut, I feel like you would still also get tear out on the last cut and vice versa. If you get a clean cut on your way down, I don't see why the last bit would cause a problem. On something like that, by the way, it's kind of wasteful, but it is not a bad idea to have that thing clamped down, screwed down or whatever to a sacrificial surface. So once you plunge all the way through, just let that bit poke about an eighth of an inch down beyond the thickness of your top. And you can generally expect a pretty good cut on what will be the visible edge, the final visible edge of that tabletop.
The other thing with the edge too is if he's putting an edge profile on it, if he does have any problems, the edge profile might just clean up any tear out anyway. Mm-hmm.
If it's small, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And yes, to answer that question, I probably would have gone all the way through. That's the joy of using the whole trammel arm system. And also, again, back to the support. If you're doing this on a sacrificial surface, everything is immobilized and double stick tape, clamps, whatever it is, and you do that final pass, it is scary when you see the rest of the material just come loose, kind of like CNC work. So you do want to make sure everything is secured, but that's why you want that extra sacrificial surface because it allows you to immobilize the entire thing, even the ring that you've created that will drop off when you're done. Yeah. You don't want that thing to just kind
of hang there. You don't want to play hula hoop around the router bit.
Yeah. So yeah, use a sacrificial surface and I think you'll be pretty happy with that.
Nice. I do think it's important to say that he ends by saying, I discovered the podcast and love it. Same for Shannon's lumber industry update.
I'm going to let people think you just made that up.
Give me this one win, Mark. Damn you.
All right. You can have that. He did type that.
All right. It's time for Mark to shut up for a bit and other people to talk. There aren't all the questions aren't just for him. So
yeah,
I find it ironic that I'm saying it's time for other people to talk. So this is from Greg. He says, I understand General Finishes has changed the formulation of Endurovar. I'm a fan of the original version. I know Shannon is as well. I haven't tried the new formulation, but I've seen some criticism on the internet. Any experience with the new version yet? Absolutely. I just did the stand-up desk project that I did on my YouTube channel, and I ran out of the original version. and like knew full well, as I was starting the finish, I knew that it wasn't going to be enough for the original version to do it. And I had the second version. I too had seen some people whining and moaning about it online. So I finished the underside with original recipe, Colonel Sanders General finishes in Durabar.
That's exactly where I was going.
Right? Until lunchtime, I want some original recipe. So I finished the underside thinking, I finished the top with the original stuff because I know how that was going to reform, and finished the underside with version two. And I can tell no difference whatsoever. So, I can flip it over and examine. It was the exact same process, sanded between coats, applied the same number of coats on each one. I can tell no difference whatsoever. And I think I made a point at the end of that video by saying, if I didn't tell you what side was wet, I guarantee you would not be able to tell the difference. So I don't really know what people are complaining about. I did do a little bit of digging and I saw some people, it was a lot of non-specific, like, I don't like it. You know, it's not as good as the other one. You know, there doesn't seem anybody who has a specific gripe with it. To me, the sheen is the same. The application is the same. The color is different. The original recipe has that kind of pinkish color. And the second, you know, the new and improved one has what you traditionally find, like that whitish water-based finish look to mm-hmm. it. The smell is the same. The drying time is the same. It's still my favorite finish. So easy answer is it's still my favorite finish.
There you go. Honestly, I think the way the world works these days, if you just change the label, people would be complaining about how it doesn't perform as well. Right.
It'll make them like they used to. The old label was yellow.
All right, Matt.
Did I put it in the wrong spot?
You put it after.
Well, I wasn't sure if like, you were like, okay, Matt, we're just going to cut your question off and end the show.
Nope.
All right.
I'd like to, because we're running long, but let's.
Oh, I know. That's why I was like, okay, that's fine.
I want to get your question in.
I'll make this one quick. This one's from Chris. Chris has a question about an upcoming project. I'd like to make some bookends out of a slice of Buckeye burl. Dimensions are 10 by 12, with a thickness ranging from 7/8 to 2 inches thick. Obviously, it's far too light and punky as is, so I'll need to both weigh it down and stabilize it. I'm thinking about impregnating it with some type of resin, maybe cactus juice. Yep. Oh, yeah. May do the trick, but I have no experience doing that sort of thing. So the question is, do you think I'm on the right track? If so, how would you recommend I go about it? If not, what do you think is a better solution? Here's a good little side note for us. Wood Talk was actually my first exposure to the three of you. I've recently checked out more of your content. Turns out you could actually build furniture.
Whoa.
Who knew?
He's talking about you guys. That's definitely, he's definitely not talking about me.
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. But it's amazing that someone, like, I never think of that, like the tertiary things that we do, and someone finding us from that and then working their way back to like, what is our primary stuff?
Yeah. This feels like a weird direction.
I mean, if you catch this show, you got to think that we're just three idiots that don't actually build anything, right?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, if you just had no idea who we were, you found the show somehow, and you're like, who are these idiots? Man. And why are they laughing all the time about nothing? And can they like do anything serious at all?
Yeah. Wow. We got to get better. We got to think Wood Talk first.
Putting your label on it and everyone thinks it's bad.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what this is.
Performer's worse or whatever you just
said.
Or
maybe we just put a new label on the show and the opposite will happen. People just think we're better.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, probably not. Anyway.
It's probably not going to work that way. Anyway, Chris, I think you are on the right track with this. If you do the full resin impregnation, it will definitely harden it up quite a bit. And it will make it quite heavy and dense. So I think, you are definitely going to be on the right track with this one. The only challenge you might have was finding a vacuum chamber that blank can fit in, because it's kind of, it's probably a little bit on the big side, maybe. Does that fit in a 5-gallon
10 by 12?
I don't know.
Ooh, that's
probably, maybe it will. It might. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You just have to figure out some vacuum thing for it to go in, for it to work. Otherwise, that's a fantastic way to do it. You're going to be surprised how much weight you add to that thing. If it's kind of punky right now, it's going to be like super, super ridiculously heavy at the end of this. Like a normal wood, it would like at least double the weight. Mm-hmm. On this, you're probably going to be like quadruple or something even higher than that.
Yeah, Buckeye density.
Another option would be, on that, if it's punky, it's probably nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's actually going to have some real weight. Your other option would be a penetrating epoxy, which would make it less punky or make it more firm, but it's not going to add as much weight because you can't pump enough of that stuff in there the same way you can with the vacuum chamber. So I would say the vacuum chamber with the cactus juice is going to be your best option for heavy bookends.
I think there are some other products. Pentacryl is one that comes to mind, and there's another one. Oh, it's called Wood Something. Just Google that. Yeah, just Wood Something. I mean,
like wood juice.
If I think of this, I think it's something like that, but it's designed to be like brushed on. In other words, for like tabletops, you know, there are wood You'll stabilizers
with
and
that
things
stuff,
like that.
You will strengthen that punkiness, but you're not going to get that weight because you're going to have,
right.
You're still going to have all the voids.
Yeah. It's not going to penetrate that far.
Yeah. With the vacuum chamber, you're literally replacing all of the airspace with resin, all of it.
I can tell
brush
you
on stuff.
So cool. I've only ever turned Buckeye, and like I turned raw Buckeye, like non-stabilized stuff. And it basically just like disintegrated on the lathe. and then the stabilized cactus juice stuff was a joy to work with. But yeah, even like, I think the stabilized stuff I had was just like pen blanks, but like, it's like a 3-pound pen blank. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that pretty much does it for us. Nice long show for you guys. Remember that we are proudly sponsored by Rockler, family owned since 1954. Rockler is your go-to source for high quality and innovative woodworking tools, finishing supplies, hardware, lumber, and expert advice. Whether you're building a simple bookshelf, a custom desk, or new kitchen cabinets, Rockler has everything that you need to make your next project a success. Visit rockler.com for a store near you or use the code WOODTALK. Just to one word, right? How much more confusing can I possibly make that? Just one word. Wood
I'm
talk.
Sure you could probably give a little more confusion.
Yeah,
I have faith in you.
Okay, and you could receive free shipping on most orders over $39. And remember to head to rockler.com/woodtalk to enter for your chance to win the Dust Right. That's not what we're doing this month.
I was going to say you're about to make it way more confusing if he reads this as is.
I did not copy and paste that. Okay, it's a router lift.
Router lift.
Yeah, that beautiful router lift. I think it's like $250 is the value. That's rockler.com/woodtalk and get into that giveaway.
Go do it. You'll be happy you did. And then when you're done with that, go to woodtalkshow.com and you can submit a question. You could also email us and send that email to woodtalkshow@gmail.com. If you do that, send us questions. We will love you long time. No doubt about it.
So true. All right. We're good?
We're good.
I think we're good. Okay, you guys have a good one, and we will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Have fun impregnating.
Oh, Lord.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.